Would to the first chapter of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. It's good to be with you. It's like being back home. I think Dad was supposed to speak tonight and he said, why don't you do it? And normally when I speak, I say, if I say anything wrong or something you don't agree with, address that with me. But I have full confidence that there's a certain one of your elders that will straighten me out if I say anything wrong. In Revelation chapter 1, I'm not going to say that we know exactly when it was written or why the revelation was given to John the way it was, but I know something was going on. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, John writes this, John your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So what was going on at this time is John found himself in a great tribulation. There was something going on that caused fear to come across John. And there's tribulation not only for John, but others, right? Because John says, a fellow worker in the tribulation. And so we're going to look at four times that John is told what not to do in the revelation. We know the fifth of those would be, do not seal these words. And I think sometimes the imagery in the book of Revelation causes us to stay away from it. Because we can't figure out everything that the book of Revelation means, we stay away from it. But there is great encouragement found in this book. No matter who you talk to, if they're being honest with the scriptures, they'll tell you there's an underlying theme in the book of Revelation. And that is that Jesus wins. Jesus is victorious. And I will say that John's situation was not unique. We today find ourselves in a situation where there's a tribulation, right? The path of which this country has chosen to go down morally, that troubles us. It gives us heartache. And then we look and we turn on the news and there's negativity being sold every day. Fox News wants us to keep up with what's going on in North Korea as if that affects our lives. And they want us to be scared and worried about that. Revelation tells us Jesus wins. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The first time that John is told what not to do is in verse 17. We'll start reading in verse 17 of chapter 1. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me saying, fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. And so the first thing John is told not to do is do not fear. I want us to think about who was scared, who laid down as if he was dead. He was so terrified of Jesus at this time that he's laid down and he's almost dead. This is John, the one whom Jesus loved. Really, the last time we see John giving a reaction to Jesus, what is he doing? He's at the Last Supper. And he's laying his head on the chest of Jesus. He has no fear of Jesus. But now he sees Jesus differently than he saw him at that Last Supper. That's because as Hebrews 1, chapter 1 tells us, something is now different. Because he's made propitiation for our sins, he's now seated at the right hand of God. And when John sees this Jesus, when John sees the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he is fearful. But Jesus says, do not fear. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, if we will see Jesus for who he is today, seated at the right hand of God and reigning as King of Kings, our tribulations become very small. They become a lot easier to deal with when we know the one whom we serve. Now, John was fearful of this man that he saw, this Jesus Christ that he saw. And he sees him, as I've said, the one who's now seated at the right hand of God. But what does that all-powerful King of Kings do? He still shows us his compassion and his love because he reaches his hand down and he touches John and he says, do not fear. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, but he still loves us and he's still compassionate for us. Now, why was John to not be fearful? There's a reason behind it. It's not just, John, don't fear, don't worry, because I'm the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. That is why you do not fear. It's the same message that Isaiah gave the children of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 44, he reminds them, God is the beginning and the end. And when you serve the one who is the beginning and the end, it decreases your fears. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. This is a message that Paul gave the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll look in verse 15. Paul, speaking of Jesus, says this: He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, the visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. That is who we serve. So I don't care what they do in North Korea. I don't care what type of fear somebody tries to put in front of you. You hold on to who you serve. Because He gives us hope in this. Paul, when he writes this to the Colossians, he gives them hope. He says He is the firstborn from the dead, meaning this: because He raised, others too shall raise. And you now have hope because of the death that He suffered. Paul, when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul tells Timothy, speaking to which of the calling to which he had been called, he tells him, I've not called you to fear. This isn't the life of a Christian. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. That is the spirit to which we are called, not one of fear. So if Jesus were here with us, He would tell us, do not fear. Let's turn to the fifth chapter of Revelation. The fifth chapter of Revelation. A second time when John is told, do not. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. And this is after John is seeing a problem proposed, and he's not knowing who's going to be able to open the seals, who is worthy to open the scrolls and break its seals. Verse 2 and verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that He can open the scroll and the seven seals. So virtually what he's saying there is, you lean on the promises of God. Do not weep. I say he's saying to lean on the promises of God because way back in Genesis, it was promised that from the tribe of Judah, one would come to save all people. And so it's a very simple message that John has given, do not weep. And the reason behind it is something we teach our children. We try to teach our children God has a great plan, that from the beginning He wanted to save us. And that's the exact message John is given here in the Revelation. Do not weep, for the one from the tribe of Judah is here. And he can take control of God's plan. It's not up to you to work it. It's not up to you to figure out how it's going to happen, John. Do not fear. The one from the tribe of Judah is here. Do not weep. Turn to the 17th chapter of the Revelation. The 17th chapter of Revelation. And the scene here is the prostitute on that great beast. And we know that that symbolism is one of sin. And John sees it kind of raining. And it catches his eye. Now, in 17 and verse 7, he's not specifically told, do not, but he's asked the question, why do you marvel? Why has that imagery of sin caught your eye? Revelation 17 in verse 7, when I saw her, I marveled greatly. But the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast with the seven heads and the 10 horns that carries her. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go into destruction. And the dwellers on earth, whose names have been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, were marveled to see the beast, because it was and is not and is to come. And so really, breaking it down to the simplest form, what John's told not to do is do not marvel at sin and its power. It looks very consuming because it's riding in on a beast. John's told, do not marvel at that. And that's really a simple message that we've been familiar with all of our lives. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs. This is our warning against sin, really for all times. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life, to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes and not be burned? And so we're told here to keep yourself from sin and keep yourself from where you're going. Do not marvel. Do not, verse 25 of Proverbs chapter 6, do not desire her beauty in your heart. Do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. There are things that are there trying to rob your attention. Sin is always trying to distract you from what God has in front of you. Jesus would say to you, do not marvel. Let's turn forward to in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 31. Do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. That is all every form of sin is trying to do, is catch your eye, catch your attention, let you ponder on it, let you be discouraged by it, until finally you succumb to sin. It's something that we should not do. We should stay away from. Finally, let's go back to Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. And this is John, again, receiving a portion of this revelation from an angel. And as he sees this angel, he is struck by the angel, and he bows down to worship the angel. In verse 10, we see the response of the angel. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, who you hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Do not worship an angel. Why though? I mean, there's encouraging in the reason why we're not to worship that angel. Because we are fellow workers. So often we see that realm where the angels are and we think how unworthy we are. The angel says to John, you are a fellow worker. And so that encourages us that Jesus Christ is there with us. And we're not working for ourselves, we're working for Him. And so the four pieces that we're told not to do in the Revelation, do not fear, do not weep, do not marvel at sin. And do not worship anything else. Do not put anything else above Jesus Christ. Worship only Him. Don't worship man. Don't worship any other doctrine. Worship Jesus Christ. He's the only one worthy. We're going to close out this lesson by reading a little bit more from the 19th chapter of Revelation. And I want you to see who Jesus Christ is. He is this rider on the white horse. And so when we have Jesus Christ on our side and working for us, how could we fear anything in this world? But also I want you to read the imagery that is here. And if you're not on Jesus Christ's side, if you've not named Him as your Savior, you should be shaking at your core. John was told, do not fear, because John was in a right relationship with God. If you're sitting in your chair tonight, I would tell you, you need to fear Jesus Christ. Because He has the authority to judge you. He has the right to judge you, because He's made every provision possible to make your life right with God. Listen to the words describing our King Revelation 19 and verse 11, "Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepresses of fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he will still reach his hand down and show you he loves you. Show you the compassion that he showed John in the beginning of this revelation. So you have an opportunity to tonight. If you're not right with God, you can make your life right with him. As together we stand and as we sing.